All right, good morning again. Wow, there it is. That thing popped up on my computer, and Brad and I don't know how to get rid of it. So just ignore that. If you're a Mac guru after this service, please come see me up there and help me get rid of that, because it just pops up at the most inconvenient times, like this. Anyway, good morning. Glad you're here today. We're beginning a series of sermons, four parts, that relate to the family. Now, there's no way in 4 weeks that we can say everything that there is to say about family, but we're going to take some chunks of it. Today's the first kickoff for that, and we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks relationships, and what I'm going to share to you today will relate to that topic, and it applies to more than just family relationships. It applies to all kind of relationships that we're in. Pastor Tom's going to be talking about spiritual health, if you want to think about all these, about healthy relationships, healthy spirituality. The third week is the weekend we kick off Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Tom will be doing a message on finances. And on the fourth week, we're going to be talking about health. And that's going to take a little bit of a different twist than what you probably immediately thought about. And so anyway, just stay tuned for that. Today's message is called "Who's Carrying Your Backpack?" Now, that'll make a lot more sense as time goes on. But let's just think for a moment about relationships. We've all, you know, in our family, we all grew up in some kind of relationship. It might have been good. It might have been bad. It might have been really bad. It could have been the Munsters or the Addams family. It might have been Leave It to Beaver. It might have been, you know, the Brady Bunch, yours, mine, and ours kind of deals. You know, we all grew up in some kind of family, and that either has brought great blessing and strength to you, or it's brought some heartache and difficulty. And in a group this size, there's people that are going to have all those different kinds of experiences. But we're going to focus on a passage of Scripture that's going to just kind of make some things very clear for us. And be honest with you, what I'm going to share today, you already know instinctively. You may not know that it comes from the Bible. This is going to be one of those things you're going to say, oh, that just makes so much sense. Maybe if you've never read this passage of Scripture, you might have said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. And it's just one of those things that just bring to the surface things that we instinctively know that are just, you know, that obvious, and just maybe we've never really thought about it like that. Before I do that, I want to give you a preview of coming attractions. Okay, and the first one we've already mentioned is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and that'll kick off on January 17th at 6 p.m. Due to an oversight or an error or just some lack of, something on my part, when I called them up, as you know, we've been pre-ordering some memberships at a discounted price of $77.50, and that price is based upon buying 10 and getting 2 free. So that normally it's $93, but if you buy 10, you get 2 free. We're able to offer the price of $77.50, and that was good through the end of last year. So I called them up last week and said, I want 40 memberships. I'm thinking a total of 40. They're thinking 40 plus the 2 free times the 10, you know, or the 40. So they sent us, or are sending us, 48. And all of a sudden I went, oh! No, I got to find a way to solve this problem. So Kathy, you'll be very glad that last night half of them were already taken. Now here's how it works. I've got 4 envelopes left up here. They're marked Financial Peace University. The first 4 people that come up here fill out the envelope and put $77.50 in the envelope, you get the discounted price. So 4 of those were taken last night. We don't want any left for the next crowd. Maybe we do, but, just after the service, just come on up here, grab an envelope, and we'll take care of that, and that's how that'll work. So there's Financial Peace University. In April, we're going to be offering, once again, the Love and Respect Conference. How many of y'all came to that a couple years ago when we had that here, or been to one somewhere? We're doing that again here in April, and that's for marriage, relationships. Really excited about that. Also, really, really excited about this. Emerson Eggerich, who's the author of Love and Respect, he's that guy that on the video conference that we watched a couple years ago. He's come out with a new book called Love and Respect in the Family, and it deals with parent-child relationships. They don't have this conference on DVD. which is really a lot less expensive. The only way to do this conference is to host it live, to bring Emerson Eggerichs here, and it's a considerable expense. So some of you might remember this. A few weeks ago when I preached, I said, if anybody's got $5,000 sitting around that they want to donate towards this, just let me know. Well, guess what happened? Somebody let me know this week. And so we're going to be scheduling that. I mean, this has all just happened, so we don't have it on a calendar yet. So there's other details we got to work out. So I'm really excited about that because we want to bless parents. We want to give some practical tools, and that's going to be coming. And now I'm going to give you this caveat here. That's $45 a person. So what you need to do is come to Financial Peace University and learn how to budget. Okay? And if you learn how to budget, I guarantee you, if you don't budget, you're going to waste more than $45 between now and this fall, right? Some of you are going to waste that this week, okay? So if you learn how to channel that into something more productive, your life is going to be better in the long run anyway. So come to Financial Peace University, learn how to budget, and that $90, if you come as a couple, will be a piece of cake for you, literally. So that's an investment well done. So that's coming up. In the fall, we're going to offer a course that we've done in the past called Intimate Encounters for Couples. We're launching this year Marriage Mentoring. We have already trained 4 couples. We're going to be training about 6 more later this month, and we're getting the details out to you once that training happens. But it's don't think of it as counseling. Just think of it as a couple who have an imperfect marriage that want to help your marriage to be strengthened, or if you're engaged or whatever the circumstances are, we want to help you with that. We're going to be getting some more information to you about that. Really excited about that. Now, this one's going to take some time to sink in. So I want you to be prepared, okay? Some of you are going to have an instant reaction one way or another on this. And you just let it marinate, okay? You got to let this marinate. We're going to host this year, we don't have a date yet, what we're going to call a Marry Me Weekend. Now, our challenge is this. To the couples that we know that are living together and are not yet married, we're challenging you to make it right. And we're going to host a wedding ceremony here for 1 couple, 10 couples. Think of it as a group wedding. And we're going to host a reception. Somebody heard about this last night and said, I will pay for the flowers. My mom is Nancy Flowers of Nancy Flowers. I will pay for the flowers for that wedding reception. That is such a cool idea. So we're going to plan that. We're going to get it in motion. We're going to challenge couples to live obediently, biblically, righteously before God. Amen? Amen. So that's what Marry Me is all about. We're coming alongside to help. We are not sitting in judgment. We are not sitting in any kind of criticism. We want to help. So this is one way that we're going to help with that in this coming year. But the biggest change is this. Okay, it's our philosophy of ministry. We, as your church staff, are going to make the shift, and we're going to help you make the shift if you haven't already. Instead of thinking of the church staff as the paid professionals that are providing spiritual services for your youth and your children and preschoolers, we are shifting to being the trainers of spiritual providers for your family. And guess who the spiritual providers are? Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad. If you're a single dad, if you're a single mom, if you're a married couple, you are the primary ones that are responsible for the spiritual health of your family. We are not going to be the paid professionals that provide that for you. That'd be like saying, my wife needs to go out on a date, so I'm going to pay somebody to date her. Okay? You know, we're just not going to do that. So we're going to train you. We're going to make that philosophical shift. To be honest with you, don't know exactly what it looks like yet. But this is something that we're convinced that God wants us to do, and we're going to be moving more and more and more in that direction. So if you're timing me, my clock starts now, okay? So who's carrying your backpack? Okay. Stopwatch starts right now. Who's carrying your backpack? So what in the world is the backpack? Now, before we explain it, now there's some possibilities here. It could be that you're carrying your backpack. It could be that you are not carrying your backpack, somebody else is, okay? And it could be that you are not carrying your backpack and nobody else is. The ball just gets dropped, and what's supposed to happen doesn't happen. So that's a possibility. The possibility is that you're carrying your backpack and maybe somebody's helping you carry your backpack. You're carrying it in part, maybe not in full. And just to be honest with you, as we get started here, nobody does this perfectly. And I'm going to make some applications about it later on and throughout the course of this. And I hesitate to even make those applications because we might think that the truth is limited to those applications. And I just want to dispel that. The applications to this are going to be endless in the relationships that you're in, either as husband and wife, parent-child, or dating, or, you know, a teenager in relationships. I mean, this is all just going to become so very clear as we begin to go through this. So the passage of Scripture we're going to look at is in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look specifically at verses 1 through 5, and we're going to focus on two verses that may seem a little bit contradictory at first. Most of the modern translations use two different words in verse 2 and verse 5. There's one or more translations that use the same word, and it seems to be English word, that is, and it seems to be contradictory, and that'll make sense when we look at this. But in the bigger context, in Galatians 5, going back to about verse 13, this is talking about our relationship with God. It's talking about our relationship with one another, and those two ideas are interspersed. And it's interesting that the passage that talks about walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, meekness, you know, those ninefold fruit of the Spirit, that's found in a passage that deals with our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, with each other. It talks about don't bite and devour one another. Can you imagine there'd be a church where people were, you know, in conflict and symbolically biting and devouring one another? Some of you grew up in that church, you know. Anyway, some people say, I want to be in a church just like what was in the New Testament. Well, sometimes they bit and devoured one another. There was conflict. And, you know, Paul and others addressed those conflicts. So anyway, this is a bigger context about relationships. And chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, picks up on that. And I'm going to begin reading that. I'm going to read the first five verses. It says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. So it talks about carrying each other's burdens. It talks about carrying your own load. So let's see if we can figure this out. Let me say this as we get started. Confusing these ideas is the essence of unhealthy relationships. Confusing these two ideas, when to carry someone's burden and when not to carry someone's load, is the essence of dysfunctional relationships. So I hope I got your attention, and let's dig into this. So we're going to ask and answer a couple of questions. First, what is my backpack? What does it represent? Who should be carrying my backpack? And when should I help someone else carry their backpack? So what is my backpack? Here it is. My backpack is simply this. It represents those things in life that are my responsibilities. My backpack represents what I'm given to do in life, whether it comes from God in terms of, you know, my roles and my spiritual gifting and the responsibilities that I've taken on in life, that's my backpack. And it says, and so there's one thing is just the everyday responsibilities of life, and those things that are overwhelming and too much to handle on my own. And we all experience both of those things, don't we? And we have things, just normal responsibilities, things that we do in life. And then there's the crises and the emergencies, the kinds of things that happen that are just so overwhelming. It could be health-related. It could be loss of a job. It could be, you know, so many different kinds of things that happen that are just those overwhelming, big crisis kinds of events that we just are not meant to try to go through all by ourselves. So that's what our backpack is. Okay, so I think that makes sense. I think that's clear. When to help. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. And this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the law. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. He says to love one another as I have loved you. So that's what he's talking about when it talks about fulfilling the law of Christ, demonstrating love to one another. And it says, carry each other's burdens. And that word burden is a very interesting word because it has to do with weightiness. It has to do with heaviness. It has to do with overwhelming. Okay, so that's what it means. You see somebody who's going through a crisis in life, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever it may be, there's this overwhelming burden that's just crushing them, and we're to come alongside and we're to help them carry that part of their backpack. Okay, so that's Galatians 6:2, and Galatians 6:5 says, for each one should carry their own load. That word load is a different Greek word. It just simply has nothing to do with weightiness. It's just everyday life, everyday responsibilities, those things that you're given to do, like nobody's supposed to brush your teeth for you, you know, unless you're like a year old. But, the things you're supposed to do, and like I said, it's endless. It's endless. Really, the applications of it are just amazingly endless. So there's things in life that I'm meant to do, that you're meant to do, that nobody's meant to do for you, that nobody's meant to do for me. I'm supposed to carry that responsibility. And if I don't, then the ball gets dropped. If you don't, the ball gets dropped, or somebody's going to come along and pick it up for you, and things really begin to get complicated there. So when to help and when not to help. When to help, when the burden is just absolutely overwhelming and too weighty. Now, in trying to explain this stuff, sometimes somebody's in a situation where their everyday responsibilities have become so weighty because they've procrastinated, right? Put it off, put it off, put it off, put it off. You know, we just put it off to the end, and all of a sudden, it's due tomorrow, and it becomes one of those huge crises. So what do you do then? Well, you know, you just have to pray, figure out if you're supposed to help somebody in that kind of a crisis, or if you just let them crash and learn a very important lesson, right? So there's no absolutes on this, right? There's no way to define this. There's no way to hammer it out with just some simple principles because the applications of it are absolutely endless. So these two verses tell us something very important about healthy relationships. They tell me that when I see somebody that is just overwhelmed in life, I need to come alongside. The law of Christ, I'm sure Paul probably said, I hate to call it a law, but that love within me, this bubbles up, and I want to come alongside. I want to help. I want to help people in difficult circumstances. You know, just think about not doing that. Just think about the person who sees somebody and they're overwhelmed and they're really struggling, and they just say, "Hey, good luck. Hey, you know, I hope you get some help," or they just ignore, walk on by, or whatever. So, or there's somebody. Would it surprise you to know that there are people in life? If you think of the backpack as just simple everyday responsibilities, there are some people that don't want to carry that. Have you ever met somebody like that? Are you one of those people? You know, that's the other question that's a little bit harder to honestly answer sometimes. But there are people that just don't want to carry their own backpack. Now, you see it if you've ever been in a group experience in school or college where, you know, you're put in a group of people and you got to all work on the same assignment. There will always be people that jump on that, take the ball and run with it. And then there's the people that just sit back and let them do it. And I'm going to ride their coattails and I'll get the grade that the group deserves. And I don't really have to do anything, you know. So you get 5-6 people together and you're going to have a combination of these things in any given group. Right? Y'all know that. You know that at the office. You know that where you work. You know that it happens in churches. It happens in families. It's rampant. It's getting these two ideas confused. When to carry a backpack, when to come alongside and help, and when not to. So these tell us some very important things about healthy relationships. So there's times that we need to help one another, and there are times when the best way to help is by not helping. There are times when the best way to help is by not helping. Now that may sound un-Christ-like, right? That may sound like, And some of you, because you're so used to helping when you're not supposed to, you think I'm talking unkind and cruel here, okay? And if you're thinking that about what I just said, that should be a clue, okay? You should just pay attention to what's going on inside of you here. And I don't mean that critically. I mean that helpfully here. I hope that you'll take an examination of your own heart on that. But first, we're going to go backpacking. We're going to pretend that we're going on a backpacking expedition, okay? And that expedition is symbolic of life. We're living life together. We're going on this backpacking expedition, and there's some instructions on relationships that are given here. Number one, the master backpacker has given everybody a backpack. And he tells us that we're all responsible for our own backpack. Jeff, you are responsible for your backpack. If at the end of the day you've lost your backpack, I'm holding you accountable for that. You and you alone are responsible for your backpack. The Master's Handbook says it like this: so then each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. You know what that means? I am not going to give an account for my wife. My wife is not going to give an account for me. It means I am not going to give an account for my children. My children are not going to give an account for me. My children are not going to be able to say, my life is the way that it is because my dad was such a horrible person. It's everybody taking responsibility for their own life. Okay? That's powerful. That's convicting at times, but it's extremely powerful. It's taking charge of our own life. We can't always take responsibility for everything that happens to us, but we can take responsibility for how we respond to what happens to us. Make sense? Okay, so I didn't hear a yes on that. Okay. Very good. Keep following along here. So number one, we're all given a backpack. Number two, we're all told that we're to carry our own backpack. We're told that we're to carry our own backpack unless there are extenuating circumstances. Those extenuating circumstances would be those overwhelming things. Let's just, we're going to illustrate that in just a moment. Extenuating circumstances, we've already talked about that from Galatians 2. We are told that if someone doesn't carry their own backpack, they're not allowed to eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. The Master's Handbook says, now keep in mind, the Master is described as God is love, right? God is love. His own handbook says that the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Now it doesn't say unable, it says unwilling. Okay, there's a difference between those two things. And the Master says if a person isn't carrying their own backpack, at the end of the day, when it comes time to sit down and eat, they don't get any food. Okay? Sound cruel or does it sound kind? We're going to sort that out. So here we go. We're going backpack, where everybody's given a backpack that's custom designed just for them. They come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. Everybody, almost of every age, gets a backpack. If you're an infant or a toddler, you're carried along. You're in the backpack, okay? So that's part of the backpack that somebody else is carrying. But eventually, that toddler needs to learn as they grow, to start carrying their own weight. Always appropriate. The master backpacker has given everybody a custom designed backpack that fits perfectly, designed just for them, and they're given the right amount of energy and strength every day to carry that backpack, okay? They're not given more strength for extra backpacks. They're given just enough strength for their daily load, okay? And then if there's an extenuating circumstance that happens and you got to step in, he'll kick it up, he'll give you some extra strength for that. Okay? So here we go. We're going backpacking. So here we go. So on this backpacking expedition, we all got our own backpack. So here I am. I'm carrying my backpack. Picture you carrying your own backpack. And you're going on this life expedition. And we tend to travel in groups of our families, some friends, the people that you hung out with on New Year's Eve, perhaps, or watched a bowl game with, friends and family. Christmas, you hang out with people you have to. New Year's, you hang out with people you get to, so you figure that out. You got, anyway, some of you got that. I got to do both, by the way. So anyway, so we're going through life, and you know, we're grouped by families and friendships and churches. You know, we got these bigger groups that we're traveling along with, and we're all carrying our backpack. So you know, here's inevitably what happens in any group of people. There's somebody that starts going, you know, I don't know how to do this up well enough. You know, I'm not that good of an actor, but you get what I'm saying here. There's somebody that starts complaining about their backpack. Now, they don't have any injury. Nothing has happened to them. They just don't want to carry their backpack, and they don't want to come right out and say, because they're very subtle. They're very wise. They're very crafty. They don't want to come out and say, I don't want to carry my backpack. They just, now there are some people that are that brash, but they just start kind of, and they're hoping that Mr. Kind or Miss Wonderful is going to speak up. And so sure enough, Miss Kind or Mr. Wonderful, or, you know, they want Mr. Helpful, just wants to help out because they're a kind, caring person. And so they come alongside and say, what's the matter? And they say, well, this is just getting so heavy, you know. I'm getting really tired. Oh, can I help? Here, let me carry that for you. And so Mr. Kind or Mr. Wonderful or Miss Wonderful is thinking, I'll carry it for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or half an hour. I'll carry it for part of the day. And surely, now we're going to call him Mr. Irresponsible. Surely Mr. Irresponsible will come back to me and say, can I have my backpack back? Do you know what almost never happens? Mr. Irresponsible almost never comes back and says, can I have it back? In fact, they like not carrying that weight. They're skipping along. You know, they're finding their friends, their cohorts who have done the same thing, right? And they got all kinds of energy. They got all kinds of money to spend because, you know, somebody's carrying their load for them. And, you know, but there's all the Mr. Kinds and Miss Wonderfuls that are carrying these extra backpacks. And at first, they feel really good about it. You know, the people that are carrying those extra backpacks, I'm not talking about the burden, you know, the heavy, weighty thing. I'm just talking about the everyday responsibility thing. At first, they feel really good about it. You know, their chests swell with pride. Look at me. I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. You know, and they're getting high fives. Most of their friends are saying, atta girl, atta boy, you know, and they're just like, wow. I'm getting some recognition for this. I'm getting some attention for this. I must really be doing a good thing. So, you know, they're going along, and for a while it's okay carrying that extra backpack. But you know what begins to happen? That weight starts to weigh on them. And Mr. Irresponsible has a twin brother. Okay? Mr. Irresponsible's twin brother has just watched what's happened. And he's going, I wonder if I can get them to carry my backpack too. So Mr. Irresponsible has surveyed the crowd. He's already figured out, I know he's not going to carry it and she's not going to, but you know, Mr. Wonderful just might. Miss Kind just really might. So they shimmy up to next to Mr. Wonderful and Miss Kind, and they start going, or maybe they sit down along the side of the road and, you know, just so hot, you know, just so tired. And so surely, certainly, Miss Kind or Mr. Wonderful, they see that and say, oh, can I help? And so they grab another backpack, and now they're carrying their own backpack, and now they're carrying somebody else's backpack, and now they got a third backpack, and they're getting pretty tired. And they do this. This isn't just a one-day experience. This happens to be day after day after day. And they tend to get portions of other backpacks because they really, part of them really likes helping out. But pretty soon they begin to get resentful. Pretty soon they begin to feel taken advantage of. Pretty soon they're wondering, where is this abundant Christian life that Jesus promises? You know, because I'm pretty worn out. I'm pretty tired. And I'm pretty resentful. And if one more person asks me to carry their backpack, I don't know what I'll do. So sure enough, one more person asks, and instead of saying no, they say yes. Because they'd rather deal with their own internal struggle than to say no and to have to face somebody else's displeasure. Because there's something about Mr. Irresponsible and his brother, they become master manipulators. Guilt trip. See, not only are they on a backpacking expedition, they are taking a major guilt trip as well. They know how to make us feel guilty. You call yourself a Christian. Where's love in this? And they're on the offensive, and they're putting people on the defensive, and they're manipulating. They're laying guilt trips. You know, parents do that with their kids. Kids do that with their parents. People do that with each other. And life that's supposed to be so good and wonderful can begin to get messy. And Mr. Kind and Miss Wonderful, who initially were so joyful and willing to help, now they're weighed down and overwhelmed. And if one more person asks me, so here's Mr. Kind and Miss Wonderful. They're walking along. Just picture this, carrying 3 or 4, 5, 10 backpacks. And then they come across one of those extenuating circumstances. Somebody has fallen and broken their ankle. Somebody's got a sprained ankle. You know, they can't carry their own backpack. The doctor says no weight bearing, you know. So, you know, they can't. And Mr. Kind and Mr. Wonderful, who would normally be the first to volunteer, walk right on by. Because they just don't have the energy. They don't have the strength. They don't have the time. Because all those extra backpacks are a drain on their resources. Emotional, physical, spiritual, financial. You get what I'm saying? You make an application. Let me help you make some applications, okay? This got some chuckles last night, so maybe you'll chuckle. If your adult child that's 29 or ages, and they're still on your cell phone plan and you're still paying for it, you just might be carrying their backpack for them. And they're taking that $80 a month and they're out having fun with it because they don't have to pay that, right? What about their car insurance? You still paying their car insurance? I mean, they're 40 years old. Mom and dad are still paying their bills for them or part of their bills. You know, and some of you just went, I don't like that guy because that's me. My mom's paying my car insurance and he just messed with that. And she's here this morning and she's going to have a talk with me and he's going to say, that preacher said, well, good, go for it. I stand by what I say. Amen. Amen. So some of you, you know, I'm messing with your candy stick here today. And it's the best thing for you. It is absolutely the best thing for you. To grow up and mature in that area. I'm not calling you immature. I'm just saying there's an area of your life that you haven't matured in, and you just might need some help with that. Okay? I'm going to talk about what to do with that. So the applications to this, like I said, are absolutely endless. I think it's safe to say this because it hasn't happened in a long time. And I don't think anybody in this room that's hearing my voice today did this. But I'm going to make an application here. This is a little bit with fear and trembling, okay? As you know, we have a school here in our church. Years ago, probably more than 10 years ago, my office used to be down that hallway down here and a very close part of the school. I'm here several evenings a week. And so this happened maybe 4 or 5 times over the course of that 10-year being down in that office. A parent of a GCA, Granville Christian Academy student, would come into the building and try to get into a classroom because their child left their science book or whatever, right? And they'd say, oh, Pastor Jeff, do you have a key to room 207? Oh, sure, yeah, I do. Would you unlock it for me? Because my child left their book in the room. Now, I always, number one, never said anything other than, sure, I'll be glad to help. But that wasn't the silent conversation in my mind. Let me tell you about the silent conversation in my mind. I never said it. I'm saying it now for the first time, okay? The silent conversation in my mind was, my dad never would have done that. My dad would have looked at me and said, I guess you need to remember to bring it home tomorrow. I guess you're going to have to suffer the consequences of your irresponsibility. Or in so many words, right? Now, when I was a teenager, I hated that. I hated it. When I became an adult, I looked back one day and called him up from college and said, thank you, Dad. Thank you for teaching me how to manage life on my own. Thank you. I'm sure his false teeth fell out, you know. I'm sure he was shocked on that. Because I saw it, you know. Anyway, so I always unlocked it, never said it, but always thought it, you know. And I'm thinking, you're probably going to do your son or daughter a greater favor by not coming and get the book for him. Now, granted, there could be extenuating circumstances. Some kind of crisis did happen. I never asked those questions. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter. But I'm saying if that becomes a pattern, and a pattern is more than once, okay? Once is understandable, twice is a pattern, and when it happens twice and your son or daughter begins to realize that you will carry the slack for them, hey, I got this assignment due tomorrow, you know, okay, I'll help. Oh, by the way, how long have you known about this assignment? Where did you go this weekend? Oh, you hung out, you spent the night with your buddy, and you slept all day Saturday, and you had all this time to do it, but you know, never mind. Here, let me carry your backpack for you. Right? You begin to see the implications of this. Now, here's what happens later on in life. The child that grows up with mom or dad that's helping them carry that backpack, they're going to look for. Now, this is the law of attraction that trumps all other laws of attraction. Okay? You ready? The one who never had to carry their backpack is going to become attracted to the person who learned to carry other people's backpacks. Now, how does that happen? Sometimes you grow up in family. The applications, illustrations of this are endless, but let me give it a try here with this kind of an illustration. Let's say you grew up in a family, and maybe perhaps you were, for example, in this illustration, you were the firstborn daughter, and you have irresponsible parents. Maybe the parents got divorced. Maybe one of them's an alcoholic, a drug addict, or just out living life on their own. And you not only had to babysit on occasion, you had to raise your younger siblings. If you had to raise your younger siblings, part of you is glad that you were there and had your siblings had some responsibility, you know, somebody stable there, but part of you resent it. You were taught to carry other people's backpacks. You were trained. So guess what? Guess whom you're going to be attracted to? You're going to be attracted to the person who's looking for somebody to carry their backpack for them. Hey, I got a backpack. Anybody want to carry it for me? So here's the reality. Somebody that has learned the healthy part of this on when to carry a backpack and when not to carry a backpack is not going to be attracted to the person who says, here, carry my backpack for me. I don't want to carry it. No matter how handsome, no matter how beautiful, no matter how wonderful they are in all other areas, that's the thing that's going to be the deal breaker or the deal maker. Because in the laws of attraction, it almost always happens this way. The one who doesn't want to carry their backpack needs somebody to carry it for them, so they're going to get married, and then they marry Mr. Wonderful or Miss Wonderful, and now they're Mrs. Wonderful, and you know, for a few years, carrying that backpack is okay for a few years. Then it gets pretty heavy because then kids come along and they're not helping with the kids, not helping with changing the diapers, not helping with, you know, he or she can go out and party with their friends, doesn't even have to ask, will you watch Bobby this tonight so I can go out? He just goes out. She just goes out. One has to ask, the other just does it. Right? Isn't that a little bit unfair? Is that an example of somebody carrying a backpack and the other one says, it's not my responsibility. I don't have to do that. I don't have to carry that backpack. Right? So the applications, again, are absolutely endless. And it's the essence of dysfunctional. Getting these two verses confused is the essence of dysfunctional, unhealthy relationship. So parents, hear me. Do your future in-law a favor. Hear me. Teach your child to carry their own backpack. Teach them to pick up their own socks, put them in the laundry basket. Teach them to do their own laundry if necessary. Teach them to clean up their own room. Teach them to get a part-time job and pay at least part of their responsibilities as a teenager. How you divide that up is there's endless ways of doing that, but you ought to be moving towards, if you're a parent, you ought to be moving your children towards an Independence Day. Where you launch them from the nest. And you say to them, I am no longer going to be responsible. I'm not going to punish you or discipline you anymore. It's not going to be my job. I'm turning you over to God. But in the meantime, I'm going to be training you. I'm going to be teaching you so that when it happens, you're not just caught off guard. You know, you're going to be fully prepared. There's going to come a day when I'm not paying your bills for you anymore. You know, if you've loaned your children money time after time after time and they've never paid it back, it's not a loan, right? It's not a loan. It's something you've given away. You know, again, applications are endless, but there ought to be that Independence Day when you're moving your children towards freedom, financial freedom from you. Okay? And if you're a child, you need to take this responsible and begin thinking in your own mind, I'm moving myself towards Independence Day, whether my parents are helping me or not. Because you will suffer. Your relationships later on in life will suffer greatly if you don't get this right. Okay, my time's running out here. So here's some signs of an unhealthy relationship. Failure to help in extenuating circumstances. We call that selfishness. Tendency to carry someone else's backpack. Tendency to let someone else carry your backpack. And applications for parenting. Teach your children to carry their own backpack. And that's, you do that a little bit at a time. And this is not a talk about how to do that. It's just to do it. Don't date someone. Now, here it is. Don't date someone who is not carrying their own backpack. Now, here's why. You'll never marry somebody you don't date. Wow. Right? I mean, this is, some of you, that's like, whoo, that was worth coming for. You'll never marry somebody, because we don't do arranged marriages in America, right? You know, you'll never marry somebody you don't date. If you date somebody more than once, you take the risk of falling in love. And if you take the risk of falling in love, you take the risk of marrying, right? So the moment you're dating and you determine he or she is not responsible with their backpack, that's it. That's the end. Because I tell you what, will not happen. You know what I'm going to say? Your love is not going to change them. If you believe the myth, oh, we'll get married and we'll live happily ever after, and because of my love, he or she will change. You'll be visiting a counselor in about 5 to 7 years. And you will be asking this question. How do I get him or her to carry their backpack? And you know what that counselor will ask you? You ready? Why are you carrying their backpack? Ask me how I know. You get this? Sinking in? Now, how do you get somebody to carry their own backpack? Well, by trying to get somebody to carry their own backpack, you're still carrying their backpack for them. Let that sink in. By trying to get somebody, hey, here's your backpack, you ought to carry it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, children that are still in your under your authority in your home. I'm talking about your adult children here, or maybe your husband or your wife. How do you get them to carry their backpack? You can't. Because by trying to get them to, you're still taking responsibility for their irresponsibility. Let that sink in. So here's what you do. Instead of carrying their backpack for them, you put it down. You just drop it. and you say, there's your backpack. It's up to you to come and get it. Now, let's go back to our backpacking expedition, and I got to wrap up here, but here it is. Mr. Irresponsible and his twin brother and cousins that weren't carrying their backpacks, at the end of the day, when it's time to eat, they're hungry. They don't have their backpack. They don't have any food. So what are they going to do? They're going to start going from campsite to campsite, smelling the aromas. Oh, that really looks good. Hint, hint. I'm hungry. Hint, hint. Will you give me some of that food? And there's going to be another Mr. Kind or Mr. Wonderful that's going to say, oh, sure, the kind, caring Christian thing to do is to give you some food. And they're always going to find more people that they can get something from until one day they've burned all their bridges. But let's say, first day of the expedition, Mr. Irresponsible dropped off his backpack. Somebody else picked it up and carried it, or he left it along the side of the road. Come to the end of the day, and it's time to eat, and nobody will give him anything to eat. What will Mr. Irresponsible do then? Where did I put that thing? They will go back, and they will start looking for their backpack. Now, here's why. The Master's Handbook says, a man's appetite works for him. That's in Proverbs. I.e., this is what it means. Need is a great motivator. If you take away need, you take away motivation. Need is a tremendous motivator. Sometimes the most kind and caring thing you can do is to not help. Let's pray. Father, so much more that could be said, needs to be said. We can't sort all this out in one sit-down kind of experience. But Lord, I pray that this has opened some eyes. I pray that this has created some curiosity. I pray, God, that this will ultimately create some motivation for some relationships, God, to begin to move on the scale of healthiness, move in that direction. Nobody's going to solve this overnight or over a week or over a month. Lord, this can be extremely complicated in all the different relationships that we're in. Some of us have been the ones that are carrying other people's normal backpacks. Some of us have been giving those backpacks away and letting people carry them for us. And Lord, there's some who see others in extenuating circumstances under that weightiness and burden, and we just don't care, and we walk right on by. Lord, all of that is indicative of some unhealthy relationships. So help us to move. Help us to move in that direction. I pray in your name. Amen. Thank you.
descended into darkness. You rose in glorious light, forever seated.
Anticipate the ending of a song sooner, then it's really going to end. You'll find yourself standing up here, kind of just twiddling your thumbs, you know.
We're happy to have you.
Wondering, you know, should I become a worship leader? And, you know, anyway, you know, I'm just having some fun with this. Anyway, now I want to say a couple things. Number one here, if your girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up with you this week because of this and you're mad at me, you're not carrying your own backpack. just want to say that. If your wife stops picking up your laundry because and you're mad at me, you're not, you know, don't blame any of whatever happens in life with you. Don't blame it on me, okay? Just, you know, I'll be glad to sit down and talk with you about it, though. No, don't get me wrong. So just wanted to, you know, have a little bit of fun with that. Secondly, I want to remind you of the Financial Peace University up here. And if we have more than four people, I'll just tell you, we'll still give you the discount. I don't want anybody to feel like this is one of those, you know, last second. We're not trying to manipulate anybody, and we'll just swallow that cost ourselves, take it out of Coley's budget or something like that. Anyway, we'll take care of that if there's more than the four. So it's still time to get in on that. And along with Financial Peace University, we haven't promoted this yet, so this is the first word you're getting. They also have Generation Change for high school students. Okay, we're going to be offering that on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, same time frame as Financial Peace University. That'll be happening somewhere upstairs for high school students. Now, parents, this might be a great way to start moving your child towards Independence Day. Okay? It'll cost $30 a student, well worth the investment. Mark's been on vacation for a couple weeks, so we haven't gotten the word out about that. That's kind of like a last second, not literally, but last minute decision to offer that. So you'll be hearing some more about that in the weeks to come. Okay, so if you're here with us for the first time today, Pastor Coley, who is in the back, he mans that table back there we call our information center. He would love to meet you. If you're a first time guest with us, he has a free gift for you. It's worth a few dollars, maybe. Anyway, it's back there. It's worth it to meet Coley. He's a great guy. Information about our church. Got any questions, just go back there and see Coley. He would love to meet you. We also have a prayer room in the exact center of our room in the back. For anybody, you have something you want somebody to pray with you about, come back there. I also want to take one last opportunity to say this. This messiness of relationships can get pretty messy. Some of you are in a lot of pain because the people around you didn't get this right, okay? And you're confused, you're tired, you're frustrated. When I said you were wondering, where is this Christian, abundant Christian life that Jesus promises, you thought, that's me. We have a ministry on Tuesday nights called Celebrate Recovery. We address these issues in great detail because it is the root cause of much of life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And we have people that have untangled these messes in their own lives, and they're willing to walk with you and with some support and encouragement. We do a great amount of teaching about this throughout the course of time over several weeks. So we just invite you. And this Tuesday night is a great time. Carrie Miller is going to be with us at Celebrate Recovery for a mini concert. So we're having a dinner at 6, a potluck. Come and have some free food. Come at 7 upstairs in the youth room. We'd love to have you join it. Just come and check it out. No pressure to come back. Just come check it out. See if it's for you. See if it might be of some help. So anyway, with that, let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that you offer us a relationship with you. And you are life itself. You are health itself in all of its forms. So Lord, we want to learn from you. For those of us who grew up in crazy, mixed up, dysfunctional families, and we just haven't learned how to get this right. Lord, we need help. We need help. We need truth. We need support. We need encouragement. We don't need criticism. We don't need condemnation. We don't need judgment. We don't need shame. We need support and encouragement. So God, help us. But maybe we have to take the first step and seek it out. So Lord, help us with that. And Lord, maybe we're those that are creating heartache for others. Surely in a room this size, that would apply to at least one person. Lord, help us. Help us to get it. Help us, Lord, to move in a direction of health, spiritually, relationally, maturely. Lord, help us with that, I pray, in your name. Amen. Have a great week. Go Bucks.